Thank you, Nima. You'll get the money I promised you for saying all that. That's brilliant. You forgot to tell them that one little bit about the picture of Jesus on the window.
Yeah.
That's awesome, that bit, isn't it? Shall I tell them?
Yeah, yeah.
Or do you want to tell them? I was just going to say that one interesting bit of Nima's story that he missed out there was that when he was in the detention centre, going every day trying to seek God, looking through that window, saying, show me yourself, show me yourself. Someone came and stuck a poster, a picture of Jesus over the window. And at first Nima was knocked and said, oh God, there you are, I'm trying to find you, looking at creation and all this. And then someone sticks something in the way. And it was while he was looking at that picture of Jesus that God said to him, if you want to know me, go to my son. Is that awesome? Awesome. Jesus is the way for us, isn't he? Absolutely fantastic. What a wonderful day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Jesus has conquered everything that ever conquers human beings for our sake. No one likes a bully. And human beings get bullied by certain things, bullied by our sins, bullied by sickness, bullied definitely by death, the biggest bully of all. But Jesus has conquered them all. And when I was younger, I changed schools, and we came from a fairly rough place near Billingham. Does anyone know Billingham? Down south. Anyone see that Finding Dorothy last night? Anyone see that? And do you see the girl from Middlesbrough? And he showed you those pictures of Middlesbrough, didn't he? And it was terrible, wasn't it? But we lived right there near ICI. And then my dad got a better job, and we moved to this quite nice area, Nunthorpe, some of you might know it. And I went to a new school. But when you're a kid and you go to a new school, it's hard, isn't it? And I remember going to the school, and I was the little poor kid and the little chubby kid. I wasn't the fine figure of a man you see today. I was a little bit overweight. And the school bully finds you out, doesn't he? Or he used to when I was a kid. And the school bully found me out and he said to me, I'm going to batter you tonight. I'm going to batter you. And I had to walk home. I'd never had a fight in my life. I didn't know how to fight. I'd had an older brother. We just used to roll around and play. And the only fighting I ever saw was on cowboy movies, watching High Chaparral on a Sunday afternoon. That was it. And I didn't know how to fight. I didn't want to fight. And I was absolutely intimidated by this lad who had a fight every day. This lad was battering people every day. And he said, I'm going to batter you. You're going to be... And I thought, he is. And I had to walk home. I thought, oh, no. And I came out of school. And some of you might know this feeling. You just feel so terrible. And I was so alone. I was on my own. There was a gang of lads walking with him. They all knew him. And they started singing this song. Roderick's going to be dead. Dead. Roderick. It was not encouraging. I tell you. And we got to this little hill, this little hillock, and there was these little trees growing, and I had no one to hold my coat. I had to hang it on a little tree. Anyway, I'll get some prayer for healing afterwards, but I had to hang my own little coat on my tree. And then he came towards me, and I thought, what do you do? All I'd seen was cowboy movies. And in cowboy movies, people just whack each other in the face as hard as you can. So I thought, that must be what you do. So he came to me and I whacked him smack on the nose as hard as I could. And he was shocked. And he like went. And the other lads looked shocked. I think they were used to like rolling around in the mud. But anyway, and I thought, it works. It works. And he came to me again, and I just did it again. I thought, this is what you do. I'm not letting him get near me. Whack! And he came to me again, and whack! And I must have whacked him. I tell you. But this is terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. And it's a terrible sin, young people. But anyway, and I must have whacked him about 6 or 7 times till his face was absolutely covered in blood. It was terrible. It was awful. I was hating doing it, but I thought, this must be what you do. And in the end, he sort of, his knees wobbled, and he sat down and then stood up again, and he said, well, leave it there. And he went, I never had another fight again in school. Don't know why. Never had another problem. Never had another fight. But isn't it good when a bully gets what's coming to him? Isn't it good? And you know who? Who is going to conquer the things that conquer you? Who is going to conquer the big bullies of humanity? And the biggest one of all is death. The Bible says that humanity is held in fear all their lives, held in bondage all their lives through the fear of death. That's true. Death is the big bully. And it's still running at 100%. I checked just before I came out today. Death still works for everyone. No one passes through the loophole. No one escapes. Everyone dies. And yet the New Testament says that when Jesus rose from the dead, he swallowed up death. Death that swallows up everyone was itself swallowed up by someone bigger. Seen those pictures of those little fish where a little fish comes along and eats a fish and a bigger fish eats it and a bigger fish eats it. The biggest fish of all was death, swallowing up everyone, the whole of human history, till it came to Jesus. And it must have thought, oh, he looks a bit big. And then, om, Jesus swallows up death. Jesus destroys the destroyers. Jesus bullies the bullies. Jesus defeats everything that defeats us. He does. He does defeat sickness. He does defeat sin. And he totally defeated death. No matter how bad things are for you, they can be resolved this morning. Christianity is an instant faith. You can have it all as soon as you believe it. Because Jesus has done it all now. It's all done. You just come to the Argos collection point of the cross and his resurrection, his empty tomb. Jesus is alive. It's a historical fact. I'm sure you know that. No one's found his bones because he's still walking around in them. He's in them. What do you think? No one would have found them by now. All the digs that go on. They've found everyone else's bones. We can take you to every other the world religious leader's grave and monument, and but we can't take it to Jesus, only an empty tomb, because he's not there. It's not just that he's alive among us by his spirit, not just that. No, he's up. His body's not there. He is actually alive. The first one, Jesus, attacked death. And it's interesting to track that attack through the Gospels. We don't have time to do that today, but let me just mention it to you. Jesus stepped further and further over into death, right the way through his ministry. I don't know whether you're aware of that. There's only four people that have been raised from the dead. One was a girl who just died. His dad came to Jesus because Jesus was doing miracles and healing. That's just normal life with Jesus. Miracles, healing, miracles, healing. And this dad, whose daughter was very ill, came to Jesus. And said, will you come and heal my daughter? He was the leader of a synagogue. She said, absolutely, let's go to your house, start going. And you know the story. The daughter dies before he gets there. And relatives come and say, oh, don't bother the master. Like they drew the line there. Don't bother, don't bother. He's where the line. We know you heal, we know you do miracles, but she's dead. Jesus said, no problem. Don't listen to them, just believe. Went to the house, kicked everyone out, just took the mum and dad in, a couple of his disciples, said to the little girl, I say to you, wake up, rise. 12 years old, she wakes up, she gets up. She'd only been dead a little while, but she's up. Phenomenal. No one had ever done that. Everyone shocked, scared, blown away. Then Jesus does it again. This time it's a little bit further in to death. This guy's having his own funeral. He's coming out of a little town called Nain. He's the only son of a widow. The funeral, I mean, the funeral procession is happening. And Jesus had the shocking disrespect to stop a funeral. I mean, can you imagine doing that today? Stepping out in the middle of the road. Stop, 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 stop. Everyone, what are you doing? This is the funeral. Stop, stop. Open the back. Open the back. Screwdriver. That's exactly what Jesus did. Stopped the funeral, went up, touched the body, and said exactly the same thing. Young man, get up. He got up. Well, Jesus is after death. Jesus is pursuing death. Jesus is going for death. Next one, Lazarus, dead and buried. Dead and buried for 4 days. Dig him up! What? Dig him up! Lazarus, come out! And that was the final miracle. That was the miracle that sent Jesus to the cross. When Lazarus came out of that tomb, when the authorities in Jerusalem heard that, they said, we've lost already. The whole world's gone after him. We're too late. If we don't kill him now, it's going to be too late. If he goes on like this, this is the end. And then Jesus himself, number four, goes into death himself. He leaps from the cross. It is finished. He knew when he said that he'd won. He knew when he said that, you know, the Greek means I've done it. I've done it. Jumps into the grave and takes on death and breaks its back and comes back from the dead. And of course, his resurrection is different from the others. The others are dead now, aren't they? They came back to life but died again. But Jesus said, behold, I am alive. I was dead, but I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of death and hell. I'm up, and I'm the first of the new world. Is Jesus awesome? Yes. He's absolutely awesome. Jesus is risen from the dead. And Jesus wants you to experience his resurrection this morning. Do you know you can do that? You can experience it? Here's how. First of all, he wants to give you a new life. A new life. You can have one, you know. You can have a new life from God today. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, a brand new life, a different kind of life, resurrection life. That's what it means to be born again, born of the Spirit, born from above. It's just different. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it in all fullness. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And that word life is a Greek word, zoe. And one of the meanings is multicolored. Multicolored life. I've come that you may have life in multicolor. Who remembers black and white telly? I'm old enough to remember black and white telly. And I remember we were a TV family, us. We lived round our fat telly. We just loved it. We watched telly every night. I can't remember us ever having a meal round the table or anything like that. We watched telly every single night of the week. And I remember it was a big thing when we got our colour telly. It was awesome. I remember our dad saying, here it is, son. He wheeled it in the room. Massive 28-inch screen. Massive big wooden thing on metal runners, on rollers. We rolled it in, plugged it in. It had buttons like that. And we'd been watching this little black and white roundy screen thing forever. And he said, here it is, son, colour telly. Bzzz, switches it on. It blinks a few times and warms up. Do you remember when they used to have to warm up? I don't know what was warming up, do you? They used to have to warm up. It's just warming up, son. Warming up? What's warming? But anyway, they'd warm up. And after it warmed up, blink, blink, blink. Dush. Colour telly, it was absolutely awesome. There's no going back, is there? Black and white to colour, there's no going back. And here's the truth. Some of you, some of us live life in black and white. We do. We live life or two-dimensional, whatever it is. We live life without the life of God within us. And when you come to Christ, when you come to Jesus, when you experience his death and resurrection, you come alive in a different way. You're alive with multicolored life. You're still you, of course you are. Nima's still Nima, but he's a new Nima. He's a forgiven Nima. A clean Nima. God wants to give you a brand new start through Jesus Christ this morning. Peter said, we're born anew through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for your sins and mine so he could give us a new life. How many people have watched The Passion of the Christ this Easter? Oh, I watched it sometime. Everyone went, oh, it's the type of thing you might only watch once because it's so violent, isn't it? But when Mel Gibson was interviewed after making that film, he insisted on being the person who nailed, I don't know whether you know this, he insisted on holding the nails and banging the hammer that went through the, you know, the hands of Jesus, as it were. And he wasn't involved in any of the rest of the acting. They said to him, why did you insist in doing that? He said in the interview, because I never want to forget that it was my sins that put Jesus on the cross. And he's right. Jesus died for our sins. I was in a bus stop once, and someone wrote on the bus stop, Jesus didn't die for it. Jesus died for his own sins, not mine. I wish I had a pen. I would have put, no, Jesus died for your sins, not his. Even the sins of writing on bus stops. Because he did. And do you know what? The resurrection is the absolute proof of that. The resurrection is the proof that Jesus died for your sins and mine and not his own. Because there's a universal law, a biblical law, and it's this. All men sin, so all men die. The wages of sin is death. Sin and death are totally connected. So how come Jesus died if he never sinned? Because God made him sin with our sin, that's why. But like a cork held underwater by something else, as soon as that other thing is removed, Jesus comes bursting out from the grave. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, because it was impossible for death to keep hold of him. Do you know that? It's impossible. Jesus rose from the dead as soon as our sins were gone. Our sins took him into the grave. But as soon as our sins were dispersed, Jesus comes up again, because there's no sin in him. The resurrection is proof that you can have a new life and that Jesus died for your sins. That's great news. We've been singing about it today. You can be forgiven. You can start again. Isn't it marvelous to be able to start again? You know, when you were a little kid and you used to get a clean piece of paper off the teacher. Go and paint a picture, Johnny. And you start, you have a little vision of what you want your picture to be, a little flower or a house or something. Or a car, Nima. And you start painting your little picture and it starts to go wrong, doesn't it? Because this starts to go wrong because you can't handle the materials and everything else you haven't been taught. And it just starts to go wrong, just like life. That's what happens in our lives. That's human life. You start off, you have a little vision, picture of what you'd like to be, how you'd like it to go. Perfect little family, perfect husband, perfect partner, perfect this, perfect that. But like those little drawings, it just goes wrong. It just ends up a mess. A little bit more black, or a little bit more brown. I'll try and put it right. Oh, it's a mess. But how wonderful to be able to take that mess back to the teacher and say, Miss, I've made a mess. And she says, oh, don't worry, Johnny. Here, have a new start. Ah, isn't that awesome? It's awesome when it happens when you're an adult. I'll tell you, some of us have forgotten how good it is to wake up with a clean conscience. Forgiven. Clean. Oh, to have a clean life. To be like a little kid again. To be that little girl, that little boy again. It can happen. It's only in Jesus Christ that it happens. To be born again. To start a new life. Would you like a new life this morning? It's on offer from God to you. A new start. A new life. And you know what? You can be forgiven over and over again. Isn't that good news for Christians who get trapped, who get stuck, who fall, who fail? Maybe you've fallen and failed. Listen, God loves you. Jesus wants to wipe it off again. He loves to forgive you and give you a new start. Come and experience his resurrection power this morning. Get free from everything. Jesus came to give you a good life, a new life, and a good life. The good life. The good life is where you can change. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, God, when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. That's the greatest blessing that can ever happen in your life. The greatest blessing you'll ever experience is repentance. It's for God to turn you back to him. God, to turn your thoughts, to turn your eyes, to turn your heart, to turn your life back to him. I heard about this vicar in London who jumped in a taxi a little while ago, and the taxi driver saw his clerical collar and he started laughing and said, "Ah, you Christians, you pin all your hopes on an afterlife. You give up everything. You give up doing this, doing that. You pin all your hopes. And when you die, you're going to find out that there's nothing there after all." And he was like chuckling. And the vicar, who was a good talker, started laughing as well. He said, "Oh, yeah, well, you know." He said, "Maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong." He said, let's just say, for instance, that you are right. Here I am, believing that I'm forgiven for the past, full of joy every day, living in love with my brothers and sisters, believing that I'm not just here randomly, but my life has a purpose and a meaning which fires me up every day. When I come to the end of my days, I launch out into eternity, believing that I'm going to be okay. And if you are right, I won't even have the disappointment of finding that I was wrong." and he was warming up by now. So he said, "But let's say, for instance, that I am right and you're wrong. There you are, scrimping to make a living, doing taxi runs, holding yourself together physically and emotionally as long as you can. But in the end, you have to face it that you'll die. And when you do, you're in for a terrible shock. You'll stand before the God that you've rejected and ignored all your life." But the taxi driver wasn't listening. He was too busy doing a U-turn. And the truth is, he could have done a U-turn with his life. You can do a U-turn today. You can turn round to God again. You can turn your heart round with God's blessing. It's the blessing of God when it happens. Jesus, when he was raised up, was sent to his people to bless them by turning each one of us from our wicked ways. That's what wrecks our life. Our wicked ways. But we can be saved from those ways. We can turn off that road through the blessing of the resurrection. You can live a good life. No matter what you suffer, no matter what happens to you, there's something in a Christian that just enables them to keep forgiving, keep loving, keep going. Richard Wurmbrand was Romania's Billy Graham, except he didn't get to preach because he was imprisoned. For 8 years, he was tortured every single day. When he got out of prison, his son said to him, "Father, what did you learn from your sufferings?" He said, "One, that there is a God. Two, that Jesus Christ is our Saviour. Three, that there is eternal life. And four, that love is the best way to live." When Jesus comes in with this resurrection life, he starts to change you so that you become good. You live the good life by sharing in the goodness of Jesus Christ. It's not an effort. He changes your heart, doesn't he? That's what makes Christians different. I was on a plane a couple of years ago going to Kazakhstan, which is a couple of miles south of Doncaster. And I'm an evangelist. I always think about who I'm going to sit next to on the plane. Well, I don't always think about it, but I did on this occasion. It was a long flight. Jumped on the plane, prayed about it. Who will I sit next to? I was traveling with a young guy who was with us at the time. And the other seat was taken up by this Muslim guy called Asif. And Asif was a New Yorker, brought up in New York, thrown out after 9/11. His family were militant Muslims. He wasn't. He was much more mild, but he was thrown out anyway. Everyone was thrown out of New York or had anything to do with anything like that. Thrown out of America. And he was working as a diplomat for the Tajikistan government. And he was working with human rights in the country of Tajikistan. I was chatting to him. He had an awesome sense of humor. We got on like a house on fire. We were having a really good laugh for about an hour, getting coffee and chatting and laughing and all that. And he said, "What do you do?" I said, and he'd been telling me everything he did. He said, "What do you do?" I said, "Well, I'm a minister as well." He said, "Really? "Which nation do you work for?" I said, "I work for the kingdom of heaven." I said, "I'm an evangelist. I tell people about Jesus." And he went, and the Muslim-Christian debate began and continued for the next 2 hours. But isn't it boring? And we were having a good laugh, and the truth is we actually liked each other. And because we were having a good laugh and things, he slowly started to warm up. And I knew, I was going into Central Asia a lot those days, and I said, "Look, you work with human rights, Asif, in Tajikistan." He said, "Yeah." I said, "You must work with Christians." He gave like a little cheeky smile. I said, "You work with pastors who've had their churches burnt down, don't you? And Christians who are getting attacked for their faith." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Come on, Asif. You work with us lot. You know the difference. What's the difference between you and me?" And in a moment where his guard was down and he was just free, he said to me, "Yeah. There is a difference." He said, "You Christians, you're all the same. You're full of love." He said, "That's the difference between us. You carry your message with love, and we don't." I thought, I'm writing that down. Why? Because we're nice people. Rubbish! We're not nice people. We've just been forgiven. We've just let Jesus Christ come into our heart. And Jesus fills us with love. You want to live the good life? It's in him. It's in Jesus Christ. Not only the good life, you can have the long life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this?" He said to Mary, "Do you believe this?" Very important that you believe this. Here's a question. Do you believe this? Do you believe that God loves you, that Jesus died for you? Will you believe it? Because faith ultimately is a choice. It's a decision, isn't it? Faith is a decision. You make a choice. You take a step of faith. It can be such a tiny step and yet absolutely transform your life forever. You can be sat there this morning thinking, "I'm not part of this. I don't believe. I've never been. I don't do church." That's irrelevant. Listen, God loves you. Jesus died for you. He wants you to live forever. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to cash in on this. It's for you. And you can live a long life, like forever, with Jesus Christ. You can't without him. The man on the cross, dying next to Jesus, took a step of faith, lived a life as a criminal. Life of horror, a death of horror, yet in that, what a winner! What a winner! In the last seconds of his life, he sees something in Jesus, launches out with a prayer of faith. You can do the same today. "Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." Jesus on the cross, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Oh, I'm in. I'm in. That's how Christianity works. Not through years of effort, through a moment of faith. A step of faith. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. Someone was dying in a hospital the other day and they called for the minister and he came to see them, leader of the church. He was a newspaper editor, actually, for quite a well-known newspaper, and he was dying, and as the church leader walked in, he said, "I've left it too late, haven't I?" And he said, "You've left it very late, but not actually too late, no. It's never too late. While you have breath in you, while you live, today is the day of salvation for you. It is. It's the day of freedom for you. If you like it, you can come and get it. Doesn't matter how old you are, what kind of life you have, if you're willing to take some steps of faith, and I'm going to give you some in a second, if you're willing to take these steps, you'll experience resurrection power of Jesus Christ, you will. Because he's true to his promises. A few years ago, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago I think, Margaret, my wife, was the boot was open in the car and she was taking shopping into the house. If you've got 9 kids, you're always taking shopping into the house. And she stood an hour drive taking shopping into the house. And this little old lady, in her 80s, I think, must have been 80s, late 80s probably, was walking along. And she sort of got to our Margaret and stopped and smiled. Margaret smiled. She said, hello. The little lady said, hello. Margaret said, what's your name? Mary. And because she wasn't going anywhere, Margaret said, do you want a cup of tea, Mary? She said, yes, please. So she came in our back kitchen. And that began a little relationship with Mary. Every time Mary was walking past our house, she'd come in for a cup of tea. And she'd had a terrible life, this lady, horrific life, sad, tragic life. And she was absolutely tormented in her mind, bless her. And she came in our house, she used to say, oh, I love coming in here, I just love the peace. We've got 9 kids. I mean, on this the occasion that she said that, I remember, it was a summer's day. The kids were all off school, they were going berserk, the little ones in the kitchen, running around, playing with her stick. And she said, I just love coming here for the peace. I just laughed out loud. But I knew what she meant. It was a different kind of peace, isn't it? It's a peace of heaven. The peace of having Jesus knocking around with your family. It's that peace. Peace in your house that only comes from him. That's what she wanted. And before she'd go, Margaret would always say, let's pray for you, Mary. And she would put our hands on and pray for it, have a bit of peace. She wasn't a Christian. One day I was driving down the road, going to preach at this youth thing in Teesside, late as usual, jumping in the car, booting down the road, and I see Mary walking down the road, this big long road in Middlesbrough, miles away from her house. I thought, where's she going? What's she doing now? I pulled up, I opened the window, I said, Mary, where are you going? She said, she had a naughty sense of humour, this 80-odd-year-old. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to preach. She said, well, I'm coming. And she got in. I'm going to a youth meeting. Quite a big youth meeting at this place. I said, Mary, I'll drop you off at home. I'm preaching at a youth meeting. She said, I'm coming. I said, Mary, listen. I said, there'll be smoke machines. There'll be lights. It'll be too loud for me. She said, sorry. I said, it'll be too loud for me. She said, sorry. I said, oh, forget it. Come on, then. I took her. This is true. Trendy Martin walks into this youth meeting with his 80-odd-year-old disciple. This is the truth. Sat her on the front row with me. I forgot about her. We started the meeting. I get up to preach on the platform. And there's like banked seats. And after I preached about Jesus, I did what I always do, what I'm going to do in a minute for you, which is give you the opportunity to experience God, experience the resurrection life of Jesus. And I said, if there's anyone in here who needs to give their life to Jesus Christ, any young person, or anyone, well, I didn't say anyone, I said, you know what's going to happen, don't you, already. And I said, you know, anyone who wants to give their life to Jesus, you come and show your commitment by coming and standing at the front and giving your life to Jesus, and then you just wait for God and people to do their business. And chairs started going clonk, 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 clonk. People started coming to the front. And then just out the corner of my eye, I noticed from where we'd been sitting, only about 3 steps, Mary at the front. Biggest steps she'll ever take, or have ever taken. Isn't it awesome, the kingdom of God? And Mary, born again in her 80s. You know, she only lived a couple of months after that. I went to a funeral. I didn't know she had a twin sister. I was in the car park, a twin sister came to the window. I thought it was a different kind of resurrection, I tell you. I said to Mary, I thought it was Mary. And she just said, I just want to say thank you for loving our Mary. We're so delighted that in the last days of her life, she came to know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? He's alive. He's here. Let's stand. Let's stand. And we'll pray. Give you the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. Give you the opportunity to receive the power of Jesus Christ. Give you the opportunity to receive the... resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I don't offer this, obviously. I'm a receiver like you. He's here. Speak to him right now. Talk to him. Open your heart to him. Whatever you need, he's here. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That you died for us. That you have conquered the bully of death for us forever. And sin. And Satan. And sickness and everything else that dominates us. You're the dominator of the dominators. You're the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And we just stand in your presence today. Jesus, we need you. We need your blood. We need your forgiveness. We need that eternal life, that new life you want to give us. Right now, if that's you, you tell him in the silence. Tell him, Jesus, that's me. You take a step of faith. You pray. You say, Jesus, remember me. Remember me now. Thank you, Lord. And we want to pray for you today to experience the resurrection power of Jesus in your heart and in your body. We're going to give you an opportunity right now to come to the front. We'd like to minister to you and pray for you. If you've said yes to Jesus, you come as well. If you're a Christian and there's some chains in your life you want breaking, well, he is where they break. You come. If you're physically ill and want to be healed, you come. You know what? You can get healed when you decide you wanted to get healed. When I first met Nima a couple of years ago, he said, I've got bad legs through weightlifting, but I don't want to be healed because I don't want to go back to my old life. But a couple of weeks ago in church at Jubilee, he said, oh, I've decided I do want to be healed now. So he got healed. It's faith, isn't it? Come on then. Who wants to come? Who wants to come first? Jesus is here. Down the front. Can we have a bit of singing as well? Should we worship him? And are we all right for time? We won't be too long, but come and stand down here. Stand down the front if you want a touch of resurrection life and power. Don't wait for anyone else. If you know this is a moment for you, you come. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Physically, emotionally, mentally, if you're in torment, you have depression, come and get healed. Come and get delivered and set free. Awesome. Jesus is here. As we worship him, just come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.